Welcome to That Podcast, episode 2. We hope you enjoyed episode 1. We had fun making it. I'm your co-host, Joe Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley.
Hello, friend.
Hello, friend. We had fun making the first one, so we're going to keep on. We're going to keep on keeping on, so to speak, as I think Jerry Reed once said. So, let's go. What are we starting off with?
We're looking at the NFL, Joe. Ooh. What are we going to look for in 2019, now that the NFL season is concluded?
I'm looking forward, and again, this is going back to the Super Bowl, but I'm kind of looking forward to the demise of the Patriots. I'm going to hate.
Okay.
I think without Patricia on defense, they could have problems. I'm not saying they will, but they could. It's not like he had anything to do with the game on the Super Bowl, right?
Can I pause you right here?
Sure, Dan? Absolutely.
And look at that and say, does that make the Lion better?
No.
Okay.
In my opinion, no.
All right.
And this goes back to something we touched on in episode 1 of McDaniels not being the head coach of the Colts. May end up being a positive for the Colts. I don't like Josh McDaniels at all. It's sort of perfect timing or kismet or whatever you want to call it, of right quarterback, right system, right surrounding players that make the Patriots good. It could be, you know, right head coach, so to speak.
Well, I mean, look at this. Everybody says, who is it? Is it Brady? Is it Belichick? And right. When you have both of those, they win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Without a Josh McDaniels.
Right.
Still running his scheme, sure.
Yep, sure.
However, he wasn't really an integral part to that.
No, he wasn't. And
that's why he went back.
Right. I think this is all, God, I hate to stroke his ego even more than it already gets stroked. But it's Bill Belichick, right? Like, it's his deal. And Brady, he has the right quarterback in Tom Brady, which is fine. But I think in the long run, the Patriots have to start on the downhill slide now, right?
Like, but Brady, you saw him in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I mean, what did that look like?
Horrible.
Right?
And I think in the Eagles now, I mean, not that there's a question who the quarterback is next year. Right? Like, it's Carson Wentz.
Absolutely. And are you going to pony up?
Right. And not only that, if you're Nick Foles,
right,
you got to look to get paid, right?
Right.
Like, you're not going to go from Super Bowl MVP to backup.
No. You're going to Case Keenum this thing.
You are going to Case Keenum. That's a great verb. Yeah. You are going to Case Keenum this thing to the end of the earth. You're just going to keep making that money, playing that card of, hey, I'm Super Bowl MVP. Pay me money. And there's going to be teams out there that are going to do it.
There are so many quarterback-hungry teams in the NFL. I mean, Jay Cutler left the Fox booth to go to Miami for a year.
Yes.
Oh, and with the caveat that, no, I can come back and be in the booth as soon as I'm actually done.
Right.
That was Jay Cutler.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And if Jay Cutler could get paid, Arizona needs a quarterback.
Right.
Right. Like, Carson Palmer's dead. So, well, not really dead, but sports dead. Plenty of other teams need quarterbacks.
Joe Flacco? Talk to me about Joe Flacco, Joe. Yeah. Nope.
This could be the same scenario.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Joe Flacco, probably above average, if average or above average quarterback, kicks ass in the Super Bowl and got paid and now is back to being an average quarterback.
Well, the team around him.
Jake DeLome. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
There are many extenuating circumstances.
Trent Dilfer, we mentioned before.
Right, right.
Managers of the game.
Correct.
There are difference makers and managers.
Correct. And it's a matter of, okay, do we want to draft a quarterback if we're Arizona, if there's one available when we're picking? Or do we want an established guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
A guy like Nick Foles. Because Nick Foles is going to get paid. Someone's going to pay him.
Correct. To be a starter.
To be a starter.
Yeah.
After his last two playoff games. Someone's going to pay him. top dollar, $18 million plus a year to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Keenum's looking for probably 20.
Yeah, somewhere in that 18, 20, somewhere in there. I mean, yeah. And the Vikings are, who knows what the hell's going to happen with them because they have three quarterbacks, right?
Three and starters.
And Keenum's going to be a free agent, I believe. Yes. And you have Teddy Bridgewater coming off a knee injury, and you have Sam Bradford coming off an injury.
Yeah, but Bradford's always off an injury.
Yeah, always.
Right?
That's his knock, right? And Teddy's been hurt once.
Yeah, but how bad? I mean,
so do you go,
it was a non-contact injury.
Right.
But it might be like people threw up when they saw that injury happen.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, he caught his foot in the turf, and it was just
right.
Blah.
It was. And it's going to be a matter of, you know, if you're the Vikings, do you go with Bridgewater, who's under contract?
Who has the most upside? I mean,
he does, clearly.
Providing that he's healthy.
He's got the youth. He's got the and providing he can still run.
Right.
You know, yeah, he's got probably got the most upside. But Nick Foles, I mean, the Vikings' defense is so good. Their running game is pretty good. It may just take, and their receiving corps is decent. All you need is the right quarterback, again, and maybe they give the money to Case Keenum.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe but, he's the one that ends up winning out because he's the healthiest. He's the one that's not dead.
If Foles went to Minnesota,
yeah,
would it have been a different story?
Maybe.
I mean,
maybe they're the ones that are playing the first team to ever play a Super Bowl in their home stadium.
Right.
And that's another thing, too, is that this was probably Minneapolis's only Super Bowl, right? They just don't – they got rewarded for building the new stadium with a Super Bowl. I don't think they go back there again because they – if you remember, they played one there. Didn't they? I believe they played one there when it was the Hump Dome. That was the only one they ever had. And, like, Pontiac, they had one, right?
Yeah.
They don't like playing these games in cold weather cities.
In Pontiac, people put the tickets on the outside of their cars.
No.
For people to take to
just
go ahead. In.
Here you go.
Because right. I'm just not doing it.
No.
And but that's Detroit. I mean, come on.
And there's a lot of people, and I lean towards this a little bit, is that the Super Bowl should just be in New Orleans.
Boo.
Should just be in New Orleans.
Boo.
Why?
I don't like the dome.
But it eliminates any weather issues.
I like weather issues. It's part of the NFL.
Well, yeah, but your biggest game...
Like no, I get it.
I mean, like, that's the reason the Bears lost Super Bowl is the rain.
Just what? Kidding. Huh? Sure.
Against the Colts.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's the reason they lost.
Yeah.
Because of the rain.
Right?
Right, yeah.
No.
But, I mean, you want your biggest game to be, you don't want any outside interference.
Right? Referee interference.
Or referee interference.
I mean, come on, man. The NFL, it's built on weather. It's in built on being outside. It's built on...
Especially, we're north.
Yeah.
Like for us, it's frozen tundra. It's cold weather.
Correct.
It's wearing short sleeves when it's 10 degrees outside.
And that's dumb.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's us and the Packers that don't have a dome.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
So we'll never have a Super Bowl. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's I'm cool happening. With that.
Yeah.
But, I mean... Move it around.
Okay.
I don't.
See, if you think about it, the places they would move it around in, right? You've got New Orleans.
Dome, right.
Arizona. Phoenix. Dome.
Miami.
Miami no
outside.
Longer.
Outside.
It's outside.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They remodel the stadium and the customers in the seats are covered.
Oh, wow. I don't care. I don't care about them.
Yeah. But those are the three major places. I'm assuming that the new Los Angeles stadium will get one.
Right.
Right. That's outside.
Sure.
But it's Los Angeles. I mean, the weather's always good there.
And San Diego is going to get
Diego's
a new?
San Diego's done. No, San Diego's not going to get one.
No. I mean, are they going to get a new stadium in L.A.?
Yes, they're building it now.
Right.
Yep.
So that will get one.
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, the new Chargers-Rams stadium will get one.
Sure.
Vegas honestly may be the ideal location.
That really would be.
That'd be nuts.
I mean, that would be the NFL saying, all right, we get it.
We get it. Right.
People gamble.
Correct.
It's a thing.
Correct.
It's a billion-dollar industry.
Yes.
That nobody's talking about. So now it might be a multi-billion dollar industry.
Correct.
Because it's out in the open.
Right. It is what it is.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a matter of, okay, another thing about New Orleans is that all the hotels in New Orleans are right around the Superdome.
Right.
All the major ones.
They are.
Within walking distance.
Sure.
So you can have so, not to quote a line from the movie Step Brothers, but there's so much more room for activities. Like, you have so many more people active in the Super Bowl experience. Like, the NFL can control all the messages, right?
Mm-hmm.
In New Orleans.
Which Goodell would really...
Oh, he would sploot, right? He would love
right?
that. Like, he, anytime he can control any of that stuff, he'd love it. Whereas in Miami, the stadium's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. Phoenix is in Glendale, technically.
Yeah.
So that's out in the suburbs.
True.
Los Angeles is going to be near Hollywood Park, where the horse racetrack used to be near the Forum.
Wait a minute. Doesn't the Phoenix University college football team play there?
Yes, the University of Phoenix takes up lots of real estate.
Yeah.
I just thought of another stadium that's going to get a Super Bowl soon, and that is Atlanta. They'll get one.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the
Is that the other Mercedes Dome?
It is the other. It's Mercedes-Benz Stadium, not Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
Okay.
That's how they are differentiated.
I understand.
Sure.
Didn't we beat the Nazis in World War II, Joe?
Hey, they're just sponsoring everything.
I'm just checking.
That's right.
They got the money. Hey, if you got the money, come to America.
That's right. We'll do it for you. Come sponsor a stadium. Speaking of sponsoring a stadium, by the way, did you see this? The
Grossinger stadium? Here in...
No, this is even better. The stadium in... Is it Joliet? Yeah, in Joliet. Is now Cards Against Humanity Stadium.
Apparently outstanding.
Apparently they bought the naming rights to it.
Outstanding.
Yeah, good for them.
That might be one of the favorite companies, at least in the state.
Yeah.
They've got a podcast. Yeah. They've got...
fun game?
Yeah.
Yeah, for
absolutely.
Sure. Yeah. Cards Against Humanity is excellent. So, what do we got next on the agenda?
Bears draft. What do we want?
I can tell you who they're not going to take. That's quarterback.
Okay.
So that's out.
Everything that I've heard says they're going to take a quarterback in the third round. But go right ahead, my friend.
I'm okay with that. I don't see a reason why you couldn't bring back Mark Sanchez on a league minimum kind of deal.
Sorry?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But the problem is you can have a draftee at the league minimum too, right?
Right.
And not have the stigma of Mark Sanchez. But
of a butt fumble?
Yes. But
all right.
But I think Mitch Trubisky went on record, if I remember right, saying that Sanchez was like another coach in the room. Like, he helped him tremendously.
Hey, I'll take that.
So if he's doing that.
If he's the third quarterback, I'm good with that.
No, he's going to be – he'll be the – well, he was the third quarterback all year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Was he?
Technically.
He was inactive.
Technically.
Right? He never saw the field. So, I mean, it was him and Glennon where the back – Glennon's gone.
You evoked his name.
I did. Well, I have to because he's technically under contract. But,
the albinosaurus.
But he's going to get
– he's going to be gone. There, what is it? $16.5 million we got to eat for that?
Yeah, some crazy amount.
Okay.
They're going to cut him.
And
owe him $3 million, $3.5 million. You just get rid of him.
Like, yeah.
That's the nice thing about the NFL. If you make the contract right, like they paid him way more than they should have last year.
Absolutely.
And they're going to come back and absolutely kill it and cut him. He gone. Like, that's
right.
It. You cut him, you either go out and hire a veteran at the close to the league minimum or you draft somebody. I'm down with that. But I still think Mark Sanchez should be somewhere in the building.
In the room.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if that's just your third quarterback just like this year, great. I don't have a problem with it at all. And if he's going to help anything to help Trubisky be the best quarterback he can be, if Mark Sanchez is that guy, great. Then he should absolutely be there.
Did he impress you on Hard Knocks? Or yes. What's the love for the Sanchez?
I'm telling you what, Mark
the
Sanchez,
dirty Sanchez.
Mark Sanchez is my guy. I say that in all jest. I just think that...
No, from you're what, right. I mean, the guy's been in the league. He's been a starter.
And from what I've heard...
He knows what he knows.
Trubisky and him got along great. And he learned a bunch from him. And if that can continue, then he's your third quarterback.
And you tell Glennon, pound sand. And
yeah, hit the bricks, Glennon. We'll see
you. You don't want Northwestern's starting quarterback then again, no?
No.
Okay.
I don't want any of that. No.
All right. Well, moving along from the Bears, we're looking at the recent pickups in the MLB. And who's the winner right now, Joe?
I mean, it's got to be the Brewers to start, right? Because they signed Lorenzo Cain to a deal. Then they traded.
Not sure about that. And then go ahead.
And they traded Christian Yelich, or they got Christian Yelich in a deal.
Oh, that's amazing.
Because the Marlins were simply just cleaning house.
They are. And it's a fire sale.
And the Marlins,
in Miami.
Dude, the fact they traded away all they got.
Yeah.
They traded away
everything.
Giancarlo. They traded
everything.
Away Marcelo Ozuna.
Yep.
They traded away Christian Yelich.
Yep.
They got one. Count it. One top 100 prospect. One. Meanwhile.
That's a white flag.
Now let's turn the table to last offseason with the White Sox. Who would get two or three top 100 prospects in several trades? You know, when they traded Sale and they got Moncada and a couple other Red Sox prospects. And then they dealt Eaton to the Nationals and they got, you know, they got Giolito and they got Ronaldo Lopez and they got other prospects. And then they dealt away Jose Quintana and got the Cubs' top prospect, Eloy Jimenez. And Dylan Cease and things like that. Like, that's the kind of trades you need to make as a franchise.
Right.
You want that return for your asset. The teams that traded with the White Sox paid at minimum 90 cents on the dollar for who they got back.
Which is a new idea for them.
Very much.
It used to be, let's go out, try to win every year, and buy the biggest free agent we can to try to make this work.
Yeah, and fail.
Right.
I mean, ultimately fail because you're not winning games. You're not winning divisions.
Now, this is my ignorance, but the kids can play. Was that pre-Kenny?
That was Kenny.
Oh, that was Kenny.
Yeah, I think so.
He never gave
Kenny.
After that happened,
yeah,
he said prospects are suspects.
Yes, and I'm not saying he's wrong.
Well, that's true.
But I will say this:
the Cubs have seen several.
The more prospects,
Felix Pie,
of course.
Patterson.
The White Sox have Scott Ruffcorn. They have their own. But I will say this about the White Sox. The more prospects you can get, the lower you risk by having that many prospects.
I think that's a Theo philosophy right there.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you're, I don't know, pick a team. Let's go with the Padres, for example, right? And let's say you have two top 100 prospects. If those guys don't pan out, you're fucked, right? Like you set your franchise back because these guys have not progressed enough to get to that point, right?
Right.
The White Sox have, I believe, at least seven or maybe eight of the top 100.
It's how you build the franchise, folks.
If they get 25% return on those eight guys,
yeah,
that's a win.
It is.
That's a win.
No. They're doing it the right way now.
And I saw some off-season footage of Eloy Jimenez. That dude is a monster. He is a beast. He'll be up this year. They'll probably do him like they did Moncada, like the Cubs did Chris Bryant. Just wait.
Get the
There's
extra
no,
year.
Right. Six is greater than five, as Barry Rosner would say.
That's genius.
Last time I checked.
Right.
And there's no rush to have him here. He's not going to make the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs.
Nope.
Because they're not going to make the playoffs. You let him get his Super 2. You bring him up in June after he's played in AAA and hit like 340 with like 15 bombs and
crushed it.
35 RBIs in the first month or 6 weeks of the season or whatever, and then you bring him up. There's no rush on any of the prospects.
Nope.
You know, and the pitching staff, the White Sox pitching staff is sort of suspect. I mean, you have, you know, Giolito and Lopez. You have guys that may or may not pitch. So they had to go out and re-sign Miguel Gonzalez. They have James Shields.
Sorry?
Yes.
Yeah.
Last year of that,
That's a tough contract.
Yeah. And the Cubs, they're mimicking the Cubs in a certain way, right?
Right. Well,
the Cubs
were, Jerry doesn't want to hear that though, Joe.
I know, but the Cubs were prospect. Go out and sign John Lester. Have all these studs that you drafted 2 years before you got Lester.
Right.
Come up to fruition, trade for Rizzo.
Mm-hmm.
And everything kind of just goes, it all magically comes together.
Bloop.
When you have this stuff. And I'll say this, that a full year of Jose Quintana for the Cubs is going to be a godsend. Yeah. That guy is the real deal.
He's their ace. And I don't care what you tell me.
I agree with. No, I'm 100% on board. He should be the opening day starter for sure.
Yeah.
Whether they re-sign Arrieta or not, or whether they're saying
No.
Jose Quintana should be the opening day starter.
No, it's going to go Quintana, Lester, Hendricks, meh.
Right now, yes. Meh. And what about Mike Montgomery? No.
He's not a fan.
No.
He doesn't want to be yo-yoed anymore.
They signed a pitcher. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, relief that they signed so far. I mean, Brandon Morrow.
Yeah.
Nice signing.
Good signing. And not Wade Davis. Bullpen. Not Wade Davis.
No.
And if you're Wade Davis, look, I understand making money. Like, that's your job. Literally is to make as much money as you possibly can. Why would you sign with the Rockies?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
They're not close to winning. They're not going to win with the Dodgers in that division.
Doesn't care.
Right.
They're not going to overuse him because. No.
Why would you?
How many closing opportunities do the Rockies get?
Right.
Not many. Yeah.
So it sounds like a paychecks, right?
Yeah.
Like
he's just
pay me.
That's a grab, baby.
Just pay me. That's it.
Yep. Yeah. Right,
I'm good. Wait, but we're not going to win?
Hey, we're not going to win. Pay me. I don't care. Pay me.
Yeah, pay me. That's it.
Yeah.
And I hope, for his sake, that the Rockies are a better team and they win. But I don't have that confidence.
I appreciate the MLB talk, my friend.
Yeah.
Let's move on to a little hockey.
Oh.
And looking at the big picture.
Yeah.
What is the most glaring spot to you, the biggest outlier to you? What has happened that you think would never happen in the NHL?
An expansion team at this point in the season having the second most points in the league.
That's amazing.
Right?
Right?
And so we talked about earlier, we have different philosophies on how they're good.
Yeah.
So like my philosophy is they're good at home. They're good at home, right?
Right.
Because of the Vegas thing.
Right. And that's where I live.
Yes.
Teams come in, they're like, Vegas, we're out, we're strip clubs, we're drunk. Oh, my God, it's 8 in the morning. We got to skate at 9. Oh, my God, we're terrible. But.
Right. But on the road.
They're good.
They're really good. They're a really good hockey team.
Yeah.
And it would be very easy to dismiss how good they are by attributing it to Vegas.
Yeah. Which is what I wanted to do.
And I 100% I'm on board with that. Like, they're laying in wait. Like, their coach tells them, don't go to any casinos. Don't go out to WD. Don't do this. Don't do that. Let them do all that and then beat their ass when they come in, right? Mm-hmm. Let them tire themselves out. And then we got them. Or tire themselves oot, as their head coaches probably say. But when they're on the road, they're the same team. They're still winning games. They're coming back from games. And, oh, man, I'm telling you, a couple weeks ago, it was last week. They came back on the Arizona Coyotes. This is so good. So they were down 2-1 late in the third. Like late in the third. Like a minute and a half left in the game. Right? Down 2-1 to the Coyotes at home, I believe. They scored 3 goals in the last minute and a half to win the game 4-2. Including an empty nickel. The last goal was empty nickel, but they scored a goal to tie it and a goal to take the lead and then the empty net goal to win the game 4-2.
Good night.
And the goalie, Mike Smith, who I hate with a passion. Screw that guy.
That's what you should.
Oh, I cannot. I was so happy to see that happen to Mike Smith. Nothing made me happier that night. But yeah, it's Vegas is really good, and there's no surprise anywhere else other than the Hawks being just
horrible.
God awful.
You're not good.
They're not. They're not good. There's no other real surprises to me. The teams that should be there earned it, and they're there. But this Vegas team with, I mean, they have James Neal and they have David Perron, but it's Marchessault, it's a bunch of other people that are contributing, letting them win games. And that's really the bottom line. That's why you play the game, to win. And Vegas is doing that in spades, pardon the gambling terminology, but they're getting it done on the home, at home and on the road, which is something that no expansion team has ever done. I think they've already broken the franchise or the NHL record for wins by an expansion team, and it's early February.
That's amazing.
And we still have the whole month of February. Well, there's the All-Star break, but the whole month of March. So, I mean, they're going to be tough to reckon with, man. If they get home ice advantage, bar the door, man. They could do some damage.
And not to switch sports on you, but I remember back when Jacksonville and North Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
Both made the playoffs within.
Yeah, it didn't take long.
Yeah, I mean.
Right, and you would think that a team that has been in the NFL.
Built from.
That has been in the NFL for years and years and years and years could get back to the playoffs every now and then.
Sure.
Sure.
Oops.
No, wait, Ted Phillips. Wait.
Yeah.
No.
Got a new stadium, though, Joe.
Oh, you got that right, brother.
Looks like a
spaceship.
A spaceship landed in Soldier Field.
Now, having never been there, I can tell you, not even looking on the inside of it, it's an
terrible.
Improvement. It's an improvement.
Oh.
Okay. Over what was there. Soldier Field.
Soldier Field.
It was not a good place to watch. Wasn't a good place to watch a football game. It was not good.
All right. Well, now that I'm depressed about the NFL, Joe, let's talk about the NBA. And specifically the Bulls. Can the Bulls get anything for Robin Lopez?
We'll find out.
He's the last piece.
He is the last piece. And a lot of people are saying that they sold short on Nico Mirotic.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get enough back for him.
Right.
I disagree.
Okay.
The sheer fact you got a first-round pick for him at any point in the first round, quite frankly, is a win.
That wasn't 2030.
That wasn't – or right. That wasn't – and before the podcast, we looked it up. It's top 5 protected this year, top 10 protected next year, and then no protection in 2020.
Correct.
But it's my opinion that the Pelicans are going to make the playoffs this year. Like they're going to – I think between adding Nico – the Jazz, there's such a big disparity between the bottom of the playoff picture and the rest of the teams in the Western Conference.
Haves and have-nots.
Yeah, so. And I think that I think they're going to make the playoffs. And if that's the case, then we got their number one pick, which, you know, I mean, if they it could be. And even if they don't make the playoffs, I don't think they're going to – I think they're going to be one of the better lottery teams, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I think we're going to get their pick this year.
Okay.
So the Bulls could be terrible, and they'll pick 4 and, you know.
6, 7?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, this is a big deal for the Bulls to turn an asset that they desperately needed to get rid of. Right? Like, he had to go.
Yeah.
You can't keep him around. When you drop the N-word on somebody and they break your face.
Yeah.
No matter how good Nikola Mirotic was playing before he got traded, you can't keep him around.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm Garpax. I'm standing on the sideline.
Yeah.
Who does the team rally around? Bobby Portis.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's the guy that stays.
Right.
The other guy? Gotta go.
You can't keep him around.
Talent? I don't care.
Right.
Move it.
Right. It doesn't matter. Just you got what you got for Nikola. I think it was great. I honestly think it was a fine deal. I'm not upset at any level about it. They got back about maybe a skosh above, actually, what they probably deserve to get back for him. For, again, an asset that you didn't really want. To turn that around to a first-round pick.
Okay, that's a win.
You took advantage of a desperate team, which is, unfortunately, in the cutthroat business of sports, that's an advantage, right? Like, they had lost Boogie. DeMarcus Cousins was out.
Oh. He was leaving.
Well, DeMarcus, he tore his Achilles.
Wow.
So that was it for them. They were written off. And to get Mirotic, who can play the 4, and then have Anthony Davis come in and play the 5, they're going to win games, and I honestly think they're going to make the playoffs. So I think they're going to get their first round. The Bulls will get New Orleans' first round pick this year. I'm pretty confident in that.
To circle back around,
yep.
Robin Lopez worth anything?
Yes.
Okay.
My guess is that the Bulls did the dump trade.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do dump trade with Robin Lopez.
Okay.
They're going to get $80 to $1 worth on the dollar for Robin Lopez. I don't think they're going to sell. So he's got value. I mean, he's big. He can rebound. His offensive game isn't great, but I think he has more value than people give him credit for in the league, I think.
As a teacher and a pro.
Yeah,
and...
exactly.
Okay.
A pro. Yeah, a veteran pro. I think he's...
He's worth more than what you would get for him.
He is worth more than my guess is what people are offering for him.
Okay.
And I think people are just kind of, what's the word for it? Fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, we'll give you a schmear, right? And the Bulls are going, nope, it's going to be more than that. Not enough. And then they go back, and then you know, the other team will just go, you know, never mind.
Okay.
That kind of thing. That's what I think is happening.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Joe, we're leaving the NBA.
Okay.
And we're headed to the WWE. And we're going to recap the Royal Rumble.
All right, I'll just say this up top. I'm a wrestling nerd. Admitted wrestling nerd. 100% wrestling nerd, right? I thought the Royal Rumble was fun. It was a good Rumble. Not a terrible amount of over-the-top surprises that were pointless. There's a couple, but not terribly a lot. It was entertaining as a whole. The telecast was entertaining as a whole. But the event, and most wrestling nerds will agree with this, the event of the weekend is NXT TakeOver, which is the Saturday before the major events, right? They have five or six a year. The effort put in by those guys is remarkable. And the best part about it is that they give the wrestlers time to tell their story. The main problem with WWE is they have a lot of talent, but because it's a made-for-television product, like Raw and SmackDown are made-for-television, they don't get the time to tell their story.
Being a novice, Joe?
Yeah.
Telling your story, would that be cutting a promo?
No.
Or better than that?
Way better than that.
Okay.
Telling your story in the ring would mean... In pro wrestling, they want to portray certain roles, right?
Right.
You have the baby face, which is the good guy, and the heel, which is the bad guy. And the interaction between the two. Like, for example, the main event at NXT TakeOver was between their NXT champion, Andrade Cien Almas, who was a Mexican wrestler, masked wrestler in Mexico that came to NXT and took his mask off. And a wrestler by the name of Johnny Gargano. Now, Johnny Gargano has wrestled on the independent scene, like on the weekends, that kind of thing, for years and years and years and years. And he's been really good. He honed his craft. They wrestled the longest match in WWE since The Rock and John Cena wrestled at WrestleMania, the one in New York. I forget the numbers. I can never remember the numbers.
Yeah,
but that's the one. Like, they wrestled real wrestling action over 30 minutes. The entire segment from when the first wrestler
came down. That would stop my heart, Joe.
Yeah. I mean, the entire segment from when the first wrestler came to the ring to when they left the ring was 48 minutes.
Jeez.
That doesn't happen in the Royal Rumble.
Nope.
Other than the Rumble match, which obviously because 30 guys coming roughly a minute and a half apart.
Right.
That's going to take time. But
mm-hmm.
a singles match
mm-mm.
or a tag team match
nope.
on the undercard of the Rumble or on Raw or on SmackDown, not going to happen. That's the good part about NXT and why whenever they have their, I'm going to put in quotes, pay-per-view, because they don't do pay-per-views, but their specials on the WWE network, that's the one to watch of the weekend. Like, if you can only make time to watch the Saturday show or the Sunday show, the main one, do yourself a favor, watch the Saturday one. Because that's going to tell, you're going to have guys that have the time to tell a story in the ring of underdog, bully, you know, can take all these punishment and still kick out at 2.5. The frustration that the, you know, the top guy faces while he's beating the crap out of the baby face, that kind of thing. That's the story.
My old man used to tell me all the time, yep. Super Bowl, waste of time. It's the playoffs. And it's the conference championships mm-hmm. that are the real
yeah.
games.
Yes.
Those are the Super Bowls.
Right.
After that, it's a joke. However,
yeah.
this year,
yeah,
it was pretty effing good.
It was. Super Bowl was good. And also, yeah. Royal Rumble was good. It was very good.
All right.
You had a guy I love, Shinsuke Nakamura, won the Royal Rumble. I've been looking forward to him wrestling the SmackDown champion, who's the WWE champion, AJ Styles, forever. They wrestled in Japan 2 years ago on Japan's version of WrestleMania. Tore the house down. Their main event, AJ Styles was the champ, and they tore the house down. And I'm hoping at WrestleMania, whatever, number 33, 34, whatever it is now, in New Orleans at the Superdome, of all places, believe it or not.
Mercedes-Benz Superdome?
We were just talking about that. Exactly. The Mercedes-Benz Superdome. They do it again, and they can steal the show. And there's going to be – the best part about WrestleMania, to me, is the undercard trying to steal the show, right? Trying to make their WrestleMania moment.
Right.
Like a, back in the day, back in WrestleMania 3 in the Pontiac Silverdome, right? There were 94,000 people there, whatever, that paid to see Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. The best match on the card, from a wrestling standpoint, air quotes, wrestling standpoint, was not Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. Andre the Giant was well past his prime. And you'll, Bill Simmons is coming out with that documentary on HBO about Andre. You should watch it. And it'll explain everything about it. But the best match in that card from a wrestling standpoint was Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage. That was the best match. Now, did people pay? Did 93,000 people pay to see Steamboat and Savage? No.
But that was the best entertainment that they saw.
Oh, absolutely. That's the best wrestling match they saw all day. 93,000 people paid to see Hogan and Andre, right? That's what the WWE right now, in my opinion, is missing. There's nothing, there's no attraction that they can put up at WrestleMania to bring the mainstream, to bring other people into their world. Now, they at the end of the Royal Rumble, Ronda Rousey showed up.
Yeah.
Right? She appeared. That's clearly not going to be enough.
She's a new diva.
She's going to help.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but it's not going to be enough to take WrestleMania and put it as an iconic thing.
Above NASCAR?
Right.
I mean, that's
I mean, NASCAR's on, NASCAR's
that's the
right
audience
now, yeah.
you're fighting for.
Correct. And it's the mainstream audience is what you want. You want the sports fan
right?
to come into that world and go, oh, this is fun. This is entertaining. This is what I want to see. You have to get him in. When at WrestleMania 14, 15, the one with Austin, Stone Cold Steve Austin and Shawn Michaels where Mike Tyson was the referee.
Okay.
There's a whole story behind that.
Sure.
Where it was almost, because at that point Hulk Hogan was in WCW when it was around. Because remember the NWO, remember For Life, all that crap?
Sure.
There was a last minute push because Hogan's contract was running out. It was almost, it was, I had my fingers about, I don't know, a quarter inch apart. This close to it being Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Hulk Hogan. It was that close.
And it just, been...
with Mike Tyson being the referee. Are you kidding me?
No.
Nope, you're going to get everybody
TV
to watch
ratings.
That. Everybody's going to pay $39.95 sure. to see
right.
that. Right? Because back in the day, there wasn't the WWE Network. It was all
right.
pay-per-view.
It was all that.
And that's what right now, they're fighting that right now. That's kind of the thing to get the average fan like yourself or below average fan. Like you're not
yeah,
like me.
I'm below average at everything, Joe.
That's not true. But to get the average Joe in to watching it.
Right.
Like, you're not, you don't give two shits about AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. There's no marquee value to that.
Yeah, but you know what's worse is like a Steve McMichael against a Dennis Rodman.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, it's, I don't need sideshow stuff. I want, I like the storyline. We all understand there's a storyline now.
Of course.
And I don't know when that was kind of revealed to everyone, but it seemed like it was in the mid-80s.
Yep.
That, you know, it's, this is what happens, and we're doing a thing.
It's entertainment.
And it's art.
Right.
Right. And so I actually don't know, as an outsider, what I would need to bring me back. I don't want a Donald Trump.
No.
Whoop. That was... Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You know, would it take, like, I'll give you an example. Would it take The Rock?
Bringing back somebody from the past?
Right.
That guy.
Which they tried now twice.
Yeah, well, Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Is the highest paid.
Easily.
Movie star.
Yep.
In America.
Yep.
By far.
And I don't know if money's
why. I mean, unless you're going to come back and give The Rock's eyebrow,
right?
Or say, you know, I'm. You smell what The Rock's cooking?
Sure.
I don't. Why would you do it?
Right.
Why would you? If you're him, why would you punish yourself if you're that guy?
Well,
you're going backwards.
The first match against Cena, he tore his bicep. Like, he got hurt. He got hurt, and then the second one, I think, he got hurt too, but not as bad. But he's just so iconic.
Right?
Right.
Well, I mean,
like, there's,
but he made the jump. He did kids' movies.
He did.
He did Disney.
He did
the Tooth Fairy.
He did
whatever it took.
Yep.
And then he made it all the way up to the top.
Yeah.
Cena, kids' movies.
Stop.
Yeah, we're kind of good with you there.
Right.
I don't know.
But my point
is, I like a heel, Joe.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. And The Rock can be a heel. That can be a thing. But my point is, you have to make, if you're going to bring in the mainstream, you have to have something to bring them in with. And
agreed.
The main event for SmackDown, the AJ Styles Nakamura match, is not going to do that at all, not at any level. That's for geeks like me.
Right.
Even Brock Lesnar wrestling in the main event, because he's the it's called the Universal Champion, the Raw Champion. It doesn't matter who he wrestles on Raw.
Raw is Jericho, as far as I'm concerned.
Even if it's Chris Jericho. It could be Chris. Even if you brought in Chris Jericho. There's no mainstream generic wrestling fan that used to be a fan, maybe, or kind of watches it casually.
Right.
That is going to pay either the $10 a month to get WWE Network, or the whatever dollar amount it's going to get to WrestleMania on pay-per-view.
Right.
They're not going to pay that to see Brock Lesnar versus anybody.
My old man used to sit in front of the TV with the Indian test pattern, and he would wait for it to change.
Yeah.
And as soon as it, like, flickered, he's like, that's it. And it would be like Gorilla Monsoon against the Crusher. And he's like, it's Saturday night.
Yeah.
And that was the thing, man.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about wrestling until Rocky III.
Yeah.
Until Hogan was Thunderlips, I didn't know anything about professional wrestling.
Right.
So we need another Rocky III.
You need something like that.
Something like
yes.
That. Okay.
Right. And you need something or someone to make people hit that button.
Right.
Be it purchasing the network or buying the pay-per-view or whatever. You need somebody that's not me or to be invested enough in your product to invest in your product.
A non-fan.
Right.
You're absolutely correct.
Right. So you need something to bring that mainstream back. And, you know, because, for example, Hulk Hogan with his comments that he made.
You know, I think that's jacked.
It may be.
I think that's WWE not wanting to pay Hogan.
That could be exactly
I think that's what it is.
But at some point.
What he's deserved.
At some point, you got to go, you know, maybe not to wrestle, but at some point you have to go.
An ambassador.
Yeah, right. You have to welcome him back.
Yeah.
And he's clearly probably too old or beat up to wrestle.
Right.
At this point.
Sammy Sosa.
But get, very much like Sammy Sosa, right?
Right.
Like, they're honoring all these people. No one has been more important before last year, before you know they won the World Series,
right?
To the Cubs and Sammy Sosa.
He got that purple prowler, man.
I'm telling you, bro.
And it's just, oh, it's just dirty.
But it's, you know,
it's
what it is?
Dirty.
What was to Sosa?
Yeah, yeah.
You hear the score a lot, right? A lot of people don't like the fact that he just left his last game. He just got in his car and he left. Never mind the years before that where he was, right?
Left before the game was over.
That's right. He left. I don't want him here.
He quit on the Cubs. Who was it, Kerry Wood that took the bat to his boom box?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know. Anyway.
But anyway, but that's what you need. You need.
Yeah.
To wrap a bow around the whole thing.
Sure.
You need
a 1998 for the MLB. That's what you need. You need a home run.
You need, right.
Yeah.
And right now, I think they're doing fine. They're not doing great, but I think they're doing okay as a wrestling nerd fan person.
If I didn't have two friends that knew anything about wrestling,
I would
know nothing about wrestling.
Yeah. None. Absolutely none. And you need that. You need to pop it.
That's kind of where it's at.
Yeah. And if that person's going to be The Rock, then that person's going to be The Rock.
But that's too old,
and
man.
You pay him,
I mean,
and,
honestly.
And you pay him $2 million or $1 million to wrestle for 20 minutes.
He can be in a movie for $50 million.
Yeah, but he has to work 6 months to get that $50
million. Yeah, okay. All right.
You pay him two for 20 minutes of work and maybe an appearance on Raw. Right? Like you just
all right, maybe and, money
and,
talks.
And I, he and not only that, but he has such a love for the business that he's willing to give a cut. He's willing
yeah,
to give a discount.
But here's the hook.
And he may
be I mean, he used to be Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Now he's just Dwayne Johnson.
And he's Dwayne Johnson now.
The Rock is kind of
he's
in his past.
Kind of
yeah,
distanced pushed. Himself.
He has.
So right. that's
You're
extra
right.
money
right.
to bring him back to that.
Right. And it's up to Vince and, you know, to a lesser extent, Triple H, who's now, you know, his son-in-law, who's probably going to end up running the show
running
after
it.
Vince goes.
Sure.
They got to figure it out.
Right. No, they really do.
They got to have some marquee value. And as much, again,
I think I
love the fact that I'm going to see AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania. Maybe.
Nobody else cares about that.
Nobody gives a shit. My friends, my
I want to.
But wrestling friends do. They care. We're all.
I mean, I care for you.
We're all popping for it. We all
right?
want to see it.
Sure.
But at the same point, that doesn't bring you in.
No.
You have no idea who we're talking about.
No.
Yeah, that's my point. It's like, you're not bringing in that.
I'm just a guy.
Just a guy. That's it. We're not bringing in that second level of fan that they need to bring in.
Right, which I believe hockey's done. Don't you? I mean, it's hard to believe here because the Hawks were so popular for so long.
Right.
And, I mean, as a little guy, it was like, oh, who do you like? Well, I like the Bears. I like the Hawks. I like the Bulls.
Right, right.
I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But
I'm willing to.
They've done well. Winning,
right? The NHL does a great job of. They don't do many things right. they really don't. But the one thing they do correctly is they really push their stars.
Yeah, that's true.
Crosby,
that's
Ovechkin, Taze, Kane.
Sure,
they're all any NHL commercial has their stars in it.
Well, yeah.
And one thing you don't see in NHL commercials is the Penguins or the Capitals.
Right.
Or the Blackhawks or
a
team. It's always about the player and what they bring to the team.
And going back to my old man with a rollerball.
Yeah.
You remember the original with James Conn?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It's the team, not the player.
Right.
And when everybody was Jonathan for James Conn.
Yeah.
That's it. Crushed the entire deal.
That's it. And a lot of people in wrestling think that that's a thing that needs to come back too. You have a lot of people during a great match will go, this is awesome, da, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the old days, it was cheering the baby face or booing the heel.
Right.
It was investing in the baby face to beat the heel or if you were a fan of, you know, the vice versa or whatever.
Sure.
Whereas now it's about having a good match. The match needs to be good. We're not gonna worry about this guy being the ooh, boo, the bad guy, boo. He just raked his eyes or ran him in the post or whatever.
Right.
Or boo or cheer the good guy. Yay, he's coming back. Yay. Like, it's not about that. It's about the match. And it's about how to get the match over, which has its good size and bad size.
I understand this.
You know?
Well, I mean, Funny or Die had a thing that popped up during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it said, here's a shout out to all the dads that really don't know anything about football, but are sitting there going, you know what? I just want a good game.
Right.
And that's, I mean, that's kind of where it's at.
Right.
I mean, you're not rooting for a particular person.
Right.
You just want to see a good match.
Right.
And
you're not going there to see some guy get his ass beat. Like when I was a kid.
Right. That was it. That was the hook.
I wanted to pay money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To see Ric Flair get his ass beat.
Oh.
I wanted to pay money to see.
Woo!
Exactly.
It's my guy.
I wanted to pay money to see.
The Nature Boy
get his
get
ass
a beat down.
By Dusty Rhodes or by Ricky Steamboat or whoever. Or if I went to a WWF event, when I wanted to go see, you know, Steve Austin, for example,
mm-hmm.
when he was a heel before he turned baby, before everybody loved him.
Before he went babyface.
I want to see him get his ass beat. Like, that's what I want to see.
That's
why
you went there.
Or when he turned face, I want to see him beat Triple H's ass. I want to see The Undertaker beat the shit out of whoever he beat the shit out of. Like, that's the marquee value of that is what started me as a wrestling fan. But it's all been transformed into
It is. It's compartmentalized now. Yeah. And we know this. I mean, right. I went to an event. I'm embarrassed to say.
It was a couple years ago.
Six, 7 years ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. Yeah.
And I wanted to see Ryback beat. John Cena.
Beat his ass.
I don't like John Cena.
No.
Like Ryback. Let's do this. Yeah. It's a table match. Let's go to town. But it's a dark night. I know that it's not being televised.
Right.
And so pretty much the babyface is going to win.
Yes.
Every time.
Send him home happy.
Yeah. And that's the way it works.
Yeah.
And
back in the day, there was a saying they had, Hogan must pose.
Okay.
At the end of whatever match he was doing, if he got his ass beat, you know, or if he lost by, like, they went back, some of the wrestling podcasts I listened to were going back and doing the, I don't know if you remember the, you probably don't remember, but there was a primetime on Fox.
That would be me not remembering.
Right. The main event where they were two referees and they were twins.
Nope.
And there was a corrupt Ted DiBiase. That was the whole thing behind Andre the Giant. That whole thing, right?
Okay.
So,
Million-dollar man.
Right.
I can give you that.
Not many people remember that even happened. I forgot about it until I was about to listen to the podcast. I'm like, oh, that's right. That happened. This is Double Dave. That's right. I remember that. The Hebners.
Right.
They were twins. I'm like, oh, shit. I forgot this even happened. But a lot of people are saying that was one of the most iconic parts of wrestling that back then was that event.
Right.
But it's about now.
It's about the work.
And now.
It's about the marks.
Once,
about all of it.
Once tickets go on sale, they don't even have to announce a match. Right?
Right.
It sells out.
It's true.
We're going to have this pay-per-view, like, for example, coming up in June, there's going to be a pay-per-view in Chicago, or technically Rosemont, the Allstate Arena. There's going to be a pay-per-view there, and it's going to sell out. Not one person
Doesn't
who bought
matter.
A ticket when they went on sale knows
what the card's going to be.
Zero.
None.
No idea. It's going to sell out. Back in the day, you had to put butts in seats.
Sure.
To get paid.
Yeah, you did.
Like, if you're not...
Back when I went in 87.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to put asses in seats. That's
how you got paid. I was
going to
see Leapin' Lanny Poffo from Downers Grove, Illinois, the poet laureate of the WWF at the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Throwing
I'm not frisbees going.
Out to the crowd. Yeah,
he
no.
did. I have one.
Yes. And I'm saying, like, that's what drew the money,
right?
Was the matches. It was the people. Now it's the event.
Yes.
Like, you know.
But that's a win for Vince.
For sure.
I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly. I mean, it's like the NFL not letting people take their helmets off.
Right.
I mean, it's your team. You're your guy.
It's your message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
For sure. And I hope. There's a day where it gets back to that. It won't ever, at least in WWE. But I always hope for an alternative to that. And there are independent alternatives to WWE. But for the most part,
not really.
They're not as entertaining.
Not really.
No, because everybody wants to be in WWE.
They do.
you know.
I mean, yeah, everything's a minor league to that.
It's filled with, it's like a AAA team. It's either
right
prospects that are on the way to the WWE, or it's old people that are on their way down from the WWE.
Right.
And sometimes they wrestle with each other. Like, that happens.
Right, but I mean, in the, back in the day, there were like legit, I mean, like AFL, NFL
yes.
situations.
Yeah.
And now, not so much.
Yeah.
I mean, TNA?
Duh.
No.
Impact Wrestling is done.
Yeah. Boo.
Boo. But anyway, so I think that's going to wrap it up for podcast numero dos. Number
heavy
two.
Wrestling.
Heavy wrestling, sorry. To everybody. But it's kind of my thing. It's kind of a jam. So we hope at least through the first couple episodes of the podcast, you kind of get a feel for what they're going to be from now on.
We're kind of figuring out the format.
Yeah, we'll get it. We'll get it eventually. But we hope you enjoyed this episode as well. And we hope you enjoyed the first one. And you hope you enjoyed this one. And we'll hit you up next time. Yeah, man.
Peace.
Peace out. This is It's That Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you.